Good morning. Good to see everybody here this beautiful, sunny Sunday morning and all these smiling faces. And if you're not smiling, well, I just shamed you into it. So we're glad you're here, members and visitors alike. And we are kind of on a low Sunday, I think, today. Are the schools out for spring break or something? Winter break, okay. I never can keep that stuff straight, but then again, I haven't had children running around loose in my house for a long time. So let's see, we have some announcements together in our life as church. We are going to be having our Ash Wednesday service this Wednesday, oddly enough, Ash Wednesday, at 6 p.m. So come and be a part of that very holy, meaningful time when we begin the Lenten season. In addition to the imposition of ashes, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together. We are going to be studying the Sundays during the Sundays of Lent. The adult Sunday school class will be using Witness to the Cross, Witness at the Cross by Amy Jill Levine or Levine. There was some discussion in Sunday school as to which way it's pronounced. And we asked Walter, and he said yes. So next Sunday, the 26th at 2 p.m., the Deo Clinic will be here with all manner of mandolins to be shared with us. So come and be a part of that 2 p.m. next Sunday. We need volunteers. What do you need them to do? Greet, hand out programs, be available for crying babies, etc. Did we have something over there? I saw a finger going. It was an index finger. Okay, I guess that was wrong. Session will meet after church today, and the session meeting is open to all members of the church. If your taste in entertainment runs to that kind of thing, you are certainly welcome to come. And if you're a former elder, then you probably won't be there. So, any other announcements together in our life as church? Again, we are so glad you are here today. Let us come now and worship the Lord. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the call to worship. Yes. And say hello. Hello. And now, please stand for the call to worship. On a wild and windy mountain, our Lord calls to us.
What is he calling us?
He calls us to dare to join him there.
What does he want with us?
He offers us the challenge of transfiguration, the opportunity to be something new.
We dare to climb the mountain, see the miracle,
and touch the holy. Let us worship God, and let us pray. We stand amazed, O Lord, like the disciples who witnessed your glory on the mountaintop. Transfigure our souls in this hour, that we might more fully reflect your graceful glory to our suffering world. Then lead us from the mountaintop to the valley of service, where we may find our own discipleship and calls. Amen. You may be... You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence. And together we pray. Like weary and frightened children, we gather around the light of your love. Forgive us our childish ways, but we are easily made fearful and fearsome. We lash out at things we do not understand and make violence our tool of choice. Restore us, we pray, to our true place as the children of your love. Light our paths that we may turn to you and grow in your grace. Through Jesus, the bringer of light. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Have our time with the children, and I'll ask the dynamic duo to join me down.
All right. Hazel, are you feeling better? You were sick last week, I remember. You had a fever. Aren't you amazed that somebody as old as me can remember things like that? Well, good morning. Okay, we're going to try it all together now. One, two, three, good morning.
Good morning.
Now we got it going. Okay. Well, I'm so glad you're here today. Oh, it's a beautiful, sunny day out there. And I hear that the temperature is going to be close to 80 degrees later on this week. I'm about ready to open up the pool and go swimming. Maybe not this week, but before too long. You know, we're about to start a new season in the church year, in the church year called Lent. And it comes from an old English word, which means lengthen. And it reminds us that this time of year, what gets longer, can you think? The days start getting longer. The sun comes up a little earlier and it goes down a little later. The days start getting longer. So we call this season Lent. And it's when the church gets ready for the celebration of Easter. Now, what happens on Easter?
We get what?
We do scavenger hunts, that's right. Do you remember Little Bunny Foo Foo hopping through the forest? No, I'm dating myself. Oh, well, you know, Easter Bunny, the Easter egg hunts, scavenger hunts. And also in the church, we remember that's when Jesus came back from the dead. That's when Jesus arose again. So for the next 40 days, we're going to get ready for that. First, we're going to kind of clean up our own acts. You know, do you clean up your house in the springtime? Yeah, We do too. We're going to do spring cleaning for our souls and our hearts, getting ready for Easter, okay? You cleaned up your playroom yesterday. I am so proud of you. Will you come and clean up my playroom?
No.
No, Haynes says, Hannah says yes. Okay. Well, let's have a prayer together and let's prepare to clean up our hearts and our minds. You might not have a what? Never mind. Okay, let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for your small servants. We thank you that they know how to clean up their playroom and get the whole house ready for spring. We ask that you would bless them and bless us as we do the housekeeping of our souls during this season when the days start getting longer. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. I'll see you next Sunday.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24. Listen for God's word. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Look, Aaron and Hur are here with you. Whoever has a dispute must go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the Israelites. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 23. Listen for God's word. "And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as fleshly, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready. For you are still fleshly. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not fleshly and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, 'I belong to Paul,' and another, 'I belong to Apollos,' are you not all too human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, and as the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, working together. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Go on and wipe those tears away. That's all right. Presbyterians applauding. Let us take our shoes from off our feet, for the grand ground on which we stand is most clearly holy. Well, I've been to the mountaintop. We can just go in and say the benediction now, go home and beat the Methodists to the restaurant. Wow, thank you. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and this is the day in which the church remembers Jesus along with Peter, James, and John going up to the top of the mountain where Jesus is transfigured. This is also the last Sunday on which the church traditionally has Alleluias, because they are a sign of what one economist years ago referred to as irrational exuberance, if you remember that. But it is now time to switch the life of the church into a tone of introspection and serious reflection. And so we tune down our worship, as it were, away from the alleluias and the glad tidings to the more somber realities of reflection. And, you know, the church used to give up, or some churches still do, give up something for Lent. I've given up listening to my children for Lent. Be that as it may. I call to your attention our gospel lesson this morning, taken today from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading the first six verses. Hear the story of the Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we come to worship your holy name in word and in song and in praise and in prayer. We come before you. So open our hearts and our minds and our hands so that all that we are may worship you in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Jesus, Peter, James, John, if my math is correct, that's four of them, on top of the Mount of Transfiguration. Mountains play a huge part in our theology, especially in Scripture. Remember after the great flood, where did the ark finally land? A mountain. This is an interactive sermon now. Yeah. On a mountain. Mount Ararat, to be precise, according to the theories. And in our Old Testament lesson for today, where did Moses and Joshua go? They went up to a mountain. mountain. That's right. You're tracking well so far. And so today in our gospel lesson, we see Jesus and James and John and Peter going to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. Mountains are important places in our traditions. They are considered to be the thin places where heaven and earth come close together. If you've ever been to Montreat, the Presbyterian Elephant Burying Ground, it is considered to be, it is considered to be a thin place. It's up in the mountains of North Carolina. And it used to be considered that's where every Presbyterian minister would buy a little piece of land with the first salary he or she got as an ordained minister. You'd start making a down payment on that little piece of land up there in Montreat. And then as you progressed and went to more and more affluent churches, you would pay off the land and you would start to build a house up there. And then when you retired, you would move into the house. And then 3 to 6 months later, you would die and leave it to your children. That was called the Levitical tradition. Now the elephant burying ground is Cherokee Presbytery, where we have more retired ministers than we do active ministers. That's kind of a frightening thought. I didn't know that when I moved here. Here all of a sudden I'm surrounded by people as old or older than me. And it's kind of frightening. But in the mountains, that's where all of this is taking place. This is where God spoke to Noah and said, it's okay, you can open the doors now, you can let all the critters out. The thing needs some airing out terribly, I'm sure. Open the doors. And then God said to Moses, I'm going to give you the commandments on 2 tablets of stone and 40 days and 40 nights. Moses and Joshua were there up on the mountain. And scripture records that when Moses came down, his face was transfigured and he shone with a great light, the glory of God. And now Jesus, James, John, and Peter, don't forget Peter, they're up there on the Mountain of Transfiguration. And once again, a theophany, a showing of God takes place, and all 40 of them are there shining bright with the light, the glory of God. And it's Moses who represents the giving of the law. It's Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, and it's Jesus there, the new covenant. All three gathered there, talking with each other. And as the conference call comes to a close, Peter, you know Peter, he's so reserved. He's such a self-conscious kind of person. He's just so hesitant to speak. And he says, Lord, it's a good thing we're here. I'm going to build 3 shrines here. Moses, Elijah, and you. We're going to have pony rides for the kids. It's going to be 6 flags over Jesus. And none other than Almighty God comes thundering out of the heavens. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Boy, that got Peter's goat. Probably for the first time. It says that Peter and James and John were so frightened, they fell out on the ground. They were overcome with fear. And who would blame them? James and John, we don't know a whole heck of a lot about, but Peter, we sure do. Wild, impetuous Peter is always there, ready to jump in where angels fear to tread. James and John, well, we know they are the sons of thunder, which kind of reflects their proclivity to lose their tempers and to use language we might not hear very often in church. I was an English major, and it occurred to me one time, I was at a meeting, and I had on my Hart's 90-day flea collar. And a gentleman at this meeting, it was a school board meeting, that ought to set the tone for you right there. This gentleman used some colorful language, and he looked around at me and said, "I'm sorry, Reverend." I didn't tell him that I was a psychiatric chaplain for a number of years. If I haven't heard it, it ain't been said. And John and James, the sons of thunder, were left absolutely speechless at this moment. They're down on the ground, probably covering up Peter, probably saying to Peter, "Shut up. Don't say anything more. You're going to get us in more trouble than we're already in." But Jesus goes, and he touches them. He calls them off the mountain to go down into the valley of service. Jesus tells them, mountaintops are great, wonderful things, but that's not where the work is. Work is down in the valley, down where human suffering lives, down where people are oftentimes disappointed, down where life doesn't pay its bills by the month, and sometimes not even by the lifetime. Down in the valley, where people are hungry. Down in the valley where people are naked. Down in the valley where people are fearful. And Jesus calls the three of them, and then by extension all of the other disciples, time to go to work. And it is at this precise moment that the Lenten journey begins, because now Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem. Jesus is heading toward his own death. Jesus has already told Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because you have made the good confession." He also turns around a few days later and has to tell Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," because Jesus has told him that the Son of Man must suffer and die. Peter says, "God forbid it, Lord." Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, there's this kind of love-hate relationship that Peter has with Jesus. Mostly love, but occasionally there's this hatred born out of ignorance and misunderstanding, as most hatred is. And Jesus has to take Peter as the whole person that Peter is, and James and John as the whole people they are, And by the way, in case you missed it, these same three disciples will be the one Jesus invites to stay up with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, there is a richness here that we sometimes miss out upon. The Garden of Gethsemane, and then he will climb one more hill, the hill called Golgotha. And there's not a whole lot holy happening up there on that mountaintop. And yet there is. And so we begin this journey with the alleluias of Transfiguration Sunday that lead to the ashes and the beginning of the Lenten journey on Ash Wednesday. It's going to be a deep, dark, purple road we shall be upon. I encourage you to come and participate in as much of it as you possibly can. Because you see, you can't really experience the glory of Easter without the darkness of the lonely path. Let's pray together. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we embrace the challenge of our own transformation as we go through this season of Lent. May we find therein the commonality of purpose and the consideration of our own mortality, which cause us to celebrate the glory of Easter all the more. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn is 190, but the title is Swiftly Past the Clouds of Glory.
Clouds of glory, heavens.
And together let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayers of the people, I invite you to respond to the phrase, Lord, in your mercy, with hear our prayer. Let us pray. It is a beautiful week beginning, O Lord. The daffodils are blooming along with the jonquils and the paper whites. And forsythia is showing its head. And we give you thanks for the beauty of the world. But we also acknowledge the ugliness therein. We lift up the people in Turkey and Syria, and we ask your presence with them, for them, and in them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we remember our own nation, our own peculiarities and struggles. Grant your wisdom to our leaders. And give us a broad sight of where you are living and working in our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all of our leaders, past and present. But today especially, we remember your servant, our former president, Jimmy Carter, his wife, Rosalind, their children, family, and the Maranatha Baptist Church. Be with them and strengthen them as he undergoes this journey. Lord, in your mercy. Father, keep us, we pray, so that all that we do may be for your glory. Walk with us in this season of Lent now beginning. Touch our hearts, trouble our spirits, and strengthen our work. These and all of our prayers we ask in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive again that which you first entrusted to us. By your grace, we pray that you would multiply these gifts, that your kingdom may be expanded, that our hearts may be strengthened in the giving, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Just did it in my voice. But go forth from this place in peace to love the Lord and serve each other. In the name of God the Father who created us, God the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit which is sufficient for us all. Amen.